Our 96-year-old World War II hero, Alex Pollowin, is with us right now. And Alex is going to be, in a few moments, playing you a special harmonica song, which he's played for his wife whenever he went to visit her while she was still with us in long-term care. Every night he'd play her a harmonica show and tell her jokes and entertain her. And he would also play his harmonica when he got to visit kids in schools. And this has been a joy in Alex's life, to visit kids in schools. And you're pretty disappointed this year that you don't get to see them because of COVID, right, Alex?
I'll tell you how wonderful many of the kids have been. I got numerous cards thanking me and hoping that I'm well, and different positive comments on there, you know, and I was thrilled. Some of the kids said, "We love you very, very much. We wish you well. We're happy that you're still well." And many letters I got. And I'm thrilled, and these are kids that I have spoken to for many, many years. And the song that I play is, it sort of gets people and myself into the spirit of that war.
Alex, we're going to ask you to play that in a couple of moments, but I actually have a little surprise for you, because you're not able to visit the students this year because of COVID. So I thought, and you'll still play the harmonica for us after this, but I thought I would get a couple of students to join us on the goods who have looked into you and researched you. And they now have questions, Alex. A couple of students are joining us because they have questions for you. So with us right now, we have 15-year-old Will Small, and we also have 12-year-old Rain Lawyer. Will, Rain, thank you both for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to meet you, kids. A pleasure and an honor. I'm very thankful that you've taken the interest about this matter. Not matter, but World War II, and that you've not, that we've not been forgotten from people your age.
Well, let's get a couple of questions from them. Before I have each of them ask you a question, though, I'd like to ask each of them a question. Rain, how does it feel to have the opportunity to speak with 96-year-old World War II hero Alex Pollowin?
Well, it's an honor to be able to ask a question and be even talking with him right now. It's an honor.
Well, thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you. I'm thrilled.
And Will, what about for you? And we also have someone else that I'll introduce in just a moment. Will, what about for you? How does it feel to speak with a 96-year-old World War II veteran?
I feel extremely lucky, and my dad's in the service himself, and he always talks about how he had more time with his World War I veterans that he had known. So it's a great honor, and I'm very lucky to be talking with a
Well, thank you veteran. Very, very much. I'm thrilled. I really am. You've made my day, which is a minimal amount. I'll be thinking of this for quite a while.
And someone else has joined us as well, 14-year-old Xenia. Xenia, how does it feel to speak with a 96-year-old World War II hero?
I think it's amazing. I think it's amazing to speak to somebody who has so much experience, and it's amazing to learn what happened during this time. And it's really great that people can, like, learn about basically what happened and experiences and more specific moments.
So, Alex, I'm going to have each of these students ask you a question now.
You're welcomed.
And I am so glad that this, see, look how both of you are helping each other out. I love this. The students are helping our vet. Our vet is helping the students. This is the goods. I'm Dahlia. And let's go with Rain to start. 12-year-old Rain, what is your question for 96-year-old Alex?
Well, before I ask my question, I'd like to thank you on behalf of every Canadian for your service. Without feelings like you, we would not be able to have the privilege you have to live in every country that we call home. So, thank you. And for my question, what are some things that you remember most about adapting to the military life back then? And is there anything you wish civilians understood about military?
Could you speak louder,
please? Rain, could you be a bit clearer? Because Alex didn't quite hear your question.
Okay.
What are some of the things
that you remember most about adapting to military life back then? And is there anything you wish that civilians understood about military service?
So what are some of the things that you had to do to adapt to military life, Alex, and do you wish there were some things that civilians understood better about military life?
That I wish, but you can only learn by being in the military, really. It takes a while to adapt, to adjust. If you're a teenager and you've been living at home and you get into the military, now you've got people telling you what to do, something you're not used to. But you adjust, you adapt, and it becomes part of your everyday life. Regarding civilians, don't quite understand that yet. If they meet enough veterans and ask the same questions that you ask, they would clearly learn.
Thank you, Rain. And let's get another question now. This time, 15-year-old Will, what's your question for Alex, Will?
I mean, I am a 15-year-old going on 16 in 2 months, and you were only 2 years older than I was when you enlisted. What was the atmosphere like as a child among men in the military?
Well, there were a lot of kids my age. And there were men on board ship, for example, who had children my age. I began to feel comfortable with all different ages. I felt very comfortable, and it stayed with me forever. And I still to this day feel comfortable with people of all ages, you know, because I never think of my own personal age. I just try to enjoy the day as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. And Xenia, what is your question? Xenia's 14. Alex, what's your question for Alex?
So the way things have gone since the war, do you think that we as a society are going in the right direction to avoid another big war?
Well, Canada is trying its best. I speak for Canada. I think I mentioned earlier, reading about it, that 4 years in a row we were named the most desired country to live in. Maybe we can set an example for the rest of the world. Like what we used to do, think in terms of other countries that way, and it helped elevate us into the position that we now are in. I think one of the big problems is that the world hasn't learned from their past mistakes, and it's a question of getting to know us and learning from us right now, where we were the students. Now we can be the teachers in our own modest way that we are known.
If you're just joining, I'm Dahlia, this is The Goods, and a 96-year-old World War II veteran, Alex Paulowin, is with us right now. He was part of Normandy. He was part of D-Day, and he was not able to go out this year for Remembrance Day and speak to students in schools because of COVID-19. So I brought three students to him, 12-year-old Rain, 15-year-old Will, and 14-year-old Xenia. And I think we'll have time to get to another question from each one. So let's try this. Rain, what's your next question for Alex? Please speak really clearly, directly into the phone.
Yeah, sorry about before. The phone quality isn't that great.
It's okay.
I feel like he has already answered all of my questions. I had a list, and they've really all been answered along with, like, the questions that everyone else has asked.
Then that says a lot about Alex's ability to share stories. And Rain, that says a lot about your ability to absorb them.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.
And how about you, Will? What's your second question for Alex?
My second question would be that what was it like to be on these Navy vessels for long stretches of time?
Yeah.
Well, There's an old expression, you're all on the same boat, you know. We are all in the same boat. I think the expression might have started there, you know. Various people, they played cards, you know, and joking mostly, and that type of thing. And it was one great big family. They began to feel like they were your extended family. And by the very nature of what a ship is called, the ship is referred to as she. Why isn't a ship referred to as he? Now, the answer to that is that the ship carries within. And we think of a ship as a she. For example, a ship called the HMCS Athabasca was the only ship in our group of warships that was sunk. And we cried like babies. It was when it was sunk in the English Channel prior to D-Day. And I phoned up the last survivor on that ship who was in the Veterans Hospital in Montreal, 99 years of age, and when I'm getting to know him on the telephone, unfortunately, he passed away. He was taken a prisoner of war and came back here. And I really had happy I had the opportunity to share his experiences with him, what it was like as a prisoner and everything else.
And I remember you telling me about that conversation, Alex, finally meet up. And you said that even though you'd never met before, he felt like a brother. He felt like a friend.
That's exactly right. This is the attitude that we have, even right now. I think the camaraderie, because of the very nature of the service, where you are all on a ship for a period of time, becomes your home, and they become like your extended family.
We have time for one last question before Alex is going to finish off our Remembrance Day tribute show with his harmonica playing, which everybody, it always leaves them in the spirit for Remembrance Day. But Xenia, what is your last question for Alex?
My question is, there are a lot of horrible things that have happened in the war. And was there at least one specific positive moment from that time?
One positive moment? Well, there were many positive moments. You know, we formed little cliques on board ship, maybe a group of four or five that you have something in common with, and maybe you go ashore all at the same time. And these are the things that you look forward to. There was a lot of joy between combat. English Channel was a terrible place. It was combat nearly every time we went out. There was combat, of course. We only went out when they were sure that the enemy was going to be trying to get through the channel and bring supplies of merchant ships, and they were escorted by enemy warships. And so that was a tough time. I had a wonderful skipper, Herbert S. Rayner was his name, and whenever we leave port, like in Plymouth, England, it speak about the Navy prayer, which was a neutral prayer, I remember some of the words that went something like this: O Lord, who rulest the ragings of the sea, guard us from the violence of the enemy and the dangers of the sea. Bring us back to the fruits of our land, dear Lord, where we may benefit here and after. And I really began to believe that someone great was looking after me and helped me, and that was a great joy.
I want to thank Xenia, Will, and Rain for taking the time ask questions and listen, right, Alex?
Right.
Thank you, three. And we're going to finish our Remembrance Day tribute to kick off Remembrance Day coming up with the spirit from this man, 96-year-old veteran Alex Paulwin. So, Alex, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank my producer, Corey. I'm going to thank my guy on the controls, Callum. I'm going to thank anyone who has taken the time to listen to your story today and hopefully share it. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your service. I want to thank Will's dad for his service. All of these veterans who have served for us, and everyone who is serving right now, and everyone who will serve, and the family members who have to go through it as well. It's service from everyone, and thank you for it. Alex, please tell us what you're about to play, and then play it, because you're finishing the show.
I want to play a song that's 103 years old, Lily Marlene, and it really gets myself and everybody who listens to it into a certain spirit. Remind them of war. Lily Marlene. And I want to thank all you kids that sent me in cards and letters to wish me well and that to stay healthy. And I've done just that, and I thank you for motivating me. Thank you. I want to meet you all in person again. I'm going to play Lily Marlene now.